Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Мною принято решение о проведении специальной военной операции.
We are under attack. It is an attack against Western democracies and on the institutions that bind them.
What Russia is much more interested in doing is depicting the West as a failure.
Regiment President Yanukovych, they were trying to protect their enormous wealth.
This is Kremlin File.
To Kremlin Files Week in Review, Olga and I are here to take you through the stories that we're paying attention to. Hey, Olga.
How are you?
Getting there. I got my coffee here, all present. We have everything going. We're ready to rock and roll. Okay. And I think for the first story that I wanted to talk about, it actually is some good economic news, okay, in a certain way. We got some interesting statistics about the Russian economy that have been crunched over the past little while. The Russian Domestic National Wealth Fund, it is believed, is probably going to be sufficient for the next 2 years. Then after that, no, any guess, okay, is good. There's a 7.5% reduction of the oil primary processing volumes, which is already impacting, by the way, the domestic gasoline and diesel prices. Now, this kind of thing, FT claims that it will have some sort of impact on an international level. Our analyst says no. Okay, it will not. So we'll be paying attention to that. Then we've also got steel production is down 3.2% for the first 2 months of the year. Coal production is down 1.8%. It's unclear, okay, what is causing all of this, but these are, okay, the stats that we're seeing now. And that's basically, all right, the another, let's say, thing that our analyst has put forward is that this inflationary pressure continues to hit the regions harder, okay, than Moscow. And the estimates of the central bank are basically bunk. So whatever you're reading, okay, take a look, okay, again at those kind of things. Okay, over to you.
Interestingly enough, this is exactly what I said was going to happen when Putin launched a full-scale invasion, because, look, Moscow and St. Petersburg more so can hold, you know, withhold these pressures, even though there is a limit. But the outer regions were seeing effects immediately in 22, and it's just, you know, continue to slide. And speaking of gasoline, apparently things are so bad inside of Russia with gasoline due to the fact that Ukraine is imposing effective sanctions and hitting Russia's refineries, that Russia has turned to Belarus to tackle the shortages in its domestic market. And we see now Lukashenko providing Russia, the superpower as they see themselves, gasoline. And it'll be interesting to see what happens from
there. Yes, definitely. We'll be taking a look. And for any of those fantastic videos that Lukashenko is putting out there on social media, him and his dog. Very strange love, okay, moment in those videos. Very strange love. Speaking of shortages, that are being addressed. Some very, very good news out of Prague. They have successfully completed the negotiations for the supply of 1 million artillery shells to the Ukrainian army that will be delivered sometime in April. That's the latest. There are around 15 countries that participated in this. In this initiative that was organized, and the architect was a Czech president, Peter Pavel. The estimated value of these supplies are 1.8 billion euros. So our applause, okay, goes to, all right, the president and to all of the 15 countries. Finally, hopefully, okay, this stuff will get there. There's another thing as well. There's also the coalition of armored vehicles, which has taken off, and that's Poland, Germany, Great Britain, Italy, and Sweden. All right, so they are organizing themselves to get even more kit out there. Back to you, Olga.
And being that Europe is finally waking up to the fact that, you know, Ukraine must win and defeat Russia inside of Ukraine, you have seen Lukashenko. Not only is he supplying gasoline to Russia, but while sitting with his weird dog, was barking of how he is going to attack the Suwalki Gap, which is a very crucial, you know, area that. No, you meant. I tried to hold it.
I know you're trying to hold it. I do understand, because all I'm seeing right now is the picture in my head of Lukashenko in his ridiculous, ridiculous army uniform with the dog in his lap. Okay, poor dog. Okay, why did he, what has he done to deserve this? And he's sitting in front of a map, okay, and just talking about, casually talking about, okay, invading, all right, which is absolutely crazy, because since the beginning, okay, of the second invasion in February, and you can give me even more information on this, you know, they were supposed to already, okay, be engaged. And I think that if he even tries, he's going to have a huge revolution on his hands inside Belarus itself. I don't think his soldiers even want to step into anything like that.
Yeah. So while he was sitting with the dog, not only is he threatening the Suwalki corridor, but he is also, saying how he's going to take a piece of Poland, how they're going to attack the Baltics. Apparently caused enough waves that now you have, Patriot missile systems that will be delivered to Lithuania on, on the border to deflect from any potential attack. But, that's the Lukashenko news. And it's good that Europe is, you know, over the past several weeks, we have seen them waking up to the fact that Russia really is a threat. I don't know where they've been the past 2 years,
well,
but, you know, we welcome
I
them
think
waking
I know
up
where
now.
They've been, because we have information. The next news story, of course, they're waking up to threats because of all of these people that are being paid by the Kremlin, the MEPs in the European Parliament. The government, okay, of Czechoslovakia has added two more people. One company to the Czech sanctions list. The decision is related to the recent BIS revelations that Russians are trying to influence the European Parliament elections in Germany, France, and Belgium. So involved, we have the Voice of Europe, which is a publication. It's a Czech company that's based in Prague that operates a pro-Russian news website. Also on the sanctions list is Viktor Medvedchuk, okay, and another individual where they were running an actual influence operation, surprise, surprise, from Russia in, okay, Czech territory. So this, okay, is absolutely insane, all right? And thank goodness, okay, for the Czechs, also because now this has triggered Poland into investigating, all right, another operation on their territory. This another thing that was actually quite important before I forget to mention it, because of the work that was done, the investigation that was done by the U.S. Justice Department, there was uncovered a Chinese hacking job, okay, the APT-31, and this also affected Italian Okay, parliamentarians. Okay, as well. At the European level, the MEPs. These were all MEPs who were part of the Inter-Parliamentary Alliance of China. They were all targeted, and we're talking about over 10,000 infected emails with this thing. So they were trying to get information, okay, from them. So that's that. All right. Now, I'm not going to get into too much detail about this story. Please see the link in our show notes so that you can read, okay, all about it, because this is actually huge, huge. And thank you, Czech Republic and the counterintelligence, the BIS that is doing this work, because this is something that all of the countries, we've had the French before, right, with their investigations as well. But I'm very happy this is happening.
I am very happy this is happening and that it's news. But again, I ask, where has Europe been? I mean, for the past decade, since Russia's annexation of Crimea, they have launched the most aggressive operations by politicians, former defense officials, former, parliamentarians, sitting parliamentarians, and everything in between. For God's sakes, in France, who finally woke up to the threat, there was an institute that literally shared the address with Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service front. I mean, and there, the politician who was, one of the main people, Thierry Mariani, was a sitting French parliamentarian who not only went to Crimea to, insist that this belongs to Russia, but he also did everything to sabotage sanctions after Europe was responding, well, France was responding, and after the annexation. I mean, this has been happening for so long, and I'm very, very happy that finally this is a news story, but Russia has been targeting the far right, the far left. I mean, they named like 3-4 politicians. They can up it to a few hundred politicians and former defense ministers. They talked about Germany and France. They could talk about Greece and Spain and Austria and Italy and Serbia. And literally every single country in Europe has politicians on Russia's payroll. So, again, applause to them for waking up and, turning this into a story and making sure that people become aware. And with the, European Parliament now saying, oh, we need to immediately launch investigations into something that's been happening out in the open.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and serious work, including taking a look at the Russian Orthodox Church. That is also another front for recruitment of politicians and other members of the far right who are peddling traditional values on the behest of Russia's intelligence services.
That's right. And let's
very good.
I mean, we are also aware. I think I remember that Neil said it's a lot easier to be able to do investigations for penetration, let's say, for on Russians. But when it comes to looking inside our own democracies, which is the most important part, because it builds resilience and it builds, okay, transparency, which is the most important thing. Otherwise, we don't survive as a democracy. So, I mean, Salvini has been sitting in the European Parliament. We have pictures of him with take the sanctions off, okay, Russia. I mean, come on, all right?
The Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
The
Nord Stream pipeline.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it was Schroeder, who is a Kremlin agent, Warnig, who Putin recruited when Warnig was a Stasi agent.
Exactly.
How are you in business in Germany with your former KGB boss? And how is this absolutely normal?
Okay, sure, it's normal. It's normal,
Apparently. So anyway,
let's move
back
on.
To,
next story.
Excellent. Yeah, back to excellent economic news inside of Russia. So prior to the coronation of Putin, there were reports, of slow nationalization of companies, which frankly I welcome because it really has turned into an interesting dynamic. But a few days ago, Putin gave the green light to the nationalization of property of businessmen who they consider saboteurs. Now, in Russia, a saboteur could frankly be anyone who woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And more so, since 2022, it has come to light that at least 180 private companies are now under state control. And all week, like the main headlines that I keep reading is that this company is being nationalized. Russia's like, you know, main pasta manufacturer is being nationalized. And the reason I say it's good news, because for me, it's like, you know, karmic justice.
Yeah.
Because you had, you know, Russia propping up these businessmen and allowing them to steal from the state and, you know, share obviously with the Kremlin. And now Russia is coming in and stealing from the businessmen who stole from the state to give back to their own pockets. So this is going to cause more domestic strain inside, especially among the elite, on top of all the arrests that are happening. You see arrest after arrest happening. Suddenly they're all concerned about bribery and this and that. And that takes me to the next quick headline. Yesterday, the top manager of Rosatom was arrested on charges of bribery. I don't know who is known in Russia who is not involved in bribery, but it just shows you the strain on the economy of the fact that they need to not only nationalize, you know, private companies, but also that they need to arrest people and seize their assets. So keep it going.
And in fact, this next story is all about putting even more pressure on that economy. This is a story from Bloomberg. The US and UK are tracking 20 billion in crypto transfers to Russia. The US and UK are investigating several cryptocurrency transactions valued at more than 20 billion that passed through a Russian-based virtual exchange. And this was reported on March the 28th. The payments are under scrutiny. These payments went through a Moscow-based crypto exchange, Garantex, using the dollar-pegged cryptocurrency, Tether. And what else do we need to know about this? The transfers have taken place since Garantex was sanctioned by the United States and the UK on suspicion of enabling financial crimes and illicit transactions in Russia. So this, is another area. It's a huge area. I don't know enough about it, so I'm not going to comment on this. But when I saw it, I said, okay, this finally someone is looking into this area, which is very little, let's say it's not covered at all, in especially for these kind of crimes.
I'll just add one thing, that Garantex, which was sanctioned by Russia, by the United States. A little fact about it, that prior to the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas, that Hamas terrorist group moved money through Garantex. And the money moved did fund, at least some of the attack on that happened October 7th. So you could just imagine what this kind of exchange is, where it allows a movement of terrorist funds and, on top of money laundering and everything in between. On to good news. A Latvian broker was arrested for allegedly smuggling advanced U.S. aircraft technology to Russia. This came in a superseding indictment this week, returned by a grand jury. And he was arrested in Latvia. He's a citizen of Latvia. And this is related to a years-long conspiracy to sell sophisticated avionics equipment to Russian companies in violation of U.S. export laws. He is the third person to be arrested and charged in connection with a conspiracy led by a Kansas company. The other two were U.S. nationals who were arrested earlier.
They're
going after them.
Exactly, because there's also, in fact, the crackdown, on Western components getting to Russia. The U.S. Commerce Department sent letters to 20 American companies telling them to cease shipments of materials abroad that may end up in Russian weapons. This was a statement from a department official. on March the 28th. As part of the crackdown on sanctions evasion, which we've talked about with Ilya and we've talked about it with Irene, the president issued an executive order, okay, in December 2023, threatening that even companies that inadvertently did business with Russia could be sanctioned as well. So the Commerce Department is warning, similarly concerned with companies that, okay, do not appear to be deliberately providing Russia with military components. This is actually really important, right?
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the U.S. sanctioned, a few companies for violating, secondary sanctions. It has done a hell of a thing because you see, you know, country after country now walking on eggshells to make sure that they don't violate any.
It's about time.
U.S.
It's about time. It's about time. Oh, can't hear you.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Going back to Russia's airports, Russia's Ministry of Transport discussed the collapse of the infrastructure of Russia's airports. Interestingly enough, this came at the Moscow Times investigation reported that a Gabonese registered company, the name is Ter Asala Parks, I'm repeating for anyone who wants another company to sanction, supplied Russia $1.5 billion in aircraft parts in 2023. So, wow. Ter Asala Parks supplied Russia $1.5 billion in aircraft parts last year. So, for anyone who is listening this to this, you have another company to look at. It does touch on Kyrgyzstan, also the investigation. So
there you go.
We'd
there
love
you go.
To see Treasury sanction this.
Yes. So for anybody who's listening and is interested, you will find that in our show notes. Correct?
Oh, yes, you will. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Now, I wanted to move into Ukraine. Okay. Again, during the night, the Russian army attacked three thermal power plants. This was, okay, something that came out in the news. I checked on DTEC to see what was going on, okay, with the situation. The shelling severely damaged the equipment at these plants. A power engineer was injured. And since the beginning of, let's say, the second invasion, okay, by Russia, they have already shelled DTEC's thermal power plants more than 160 times. Okay. The National Resistance Center put out some information as well. There are 10,000 households that are without any energy whatsoever in the occupied Ukrainian territories of Donetsk and Luhansk. So this is incredible. Okay. In fact, NATO, the NATO convened today, the NATO-Ukrainian Council, all right, to talk about how, what kind of assistance, okay, is necessary at this time. Air cover, air, anti-air missile, something, okay, needs to happen here.
Yes, and when it comes to Ukraine, I mean, things are really bad right now there. They are dire. We're waiting for weapons to arrive. But in the meantime, Russia has really, you know, ramped up the attacks on infrastructure, and you have many regions who are sitting, you know, without electricity. Kharkiv, you know, a huge city. I mean, this is like Paris sitting without electric. you know, and with this news, there was news that President Zelensky spoke with the Speaker of the House, Johnson, and again, filled him in on what is happening on the front lines, and again, asked for assistance to please pass this package that has been held up since October that has allowed Russia to take more territory because of the ammunition shortages and, you know, the weapon shortages that they have on the front lines. And with all these missile strikes, also, you know, Ukraine's air defense systems are being exhausted. So we really need weapons now. Now, yesterday. And it's really that important, because Zelensky also at the same time is warning that Russia might launch a huge offensive in May and June. So we need F-16s. We need, you know, I hate to call it tanks, ammo, everything, so Russia can be defeated inside of Ukraine. And then Europe and the United States won't have to worry about a potential, you know, escalating war or Russia's attack on NATO. If Russia is defeated inside of Ukraine, this all comes to an end, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future. Yeah. So weapons, and more weapons.
That's right. Speaking of, Russia attacking NATO, this is not what happened, but NATO is considering shooting down Russian missiles that stray too close to its borders. And this from Poland's deputy foreign minister. He stated that Russia knew that if a missile, this is in reference to a missile that crossed into Polish airspace. He said the Russia knew that if the missile crossed further into Poland, it would be shot down. There would be a counterattack. This is what they were saying. Poland's armed forces said that Russia violated Poland's airspace on Sunday morning, very early Sunday morning, with a cruise missile launched at targets in western Ukraine. So this is very important. We're keeping an eye to see. It's not the once, well, actually the one, I think, not in the beginning of the second invasion, perhaps maybe a few months afterwards, there were pieces of, no, they had found a missile inside, all right, Poland. In Moldova, it's happening. You know, this is something that needs to be addressed. So, you know, I think it's perfectly legitimate. You're over into my airspace, boom, you know, bring it down. I don't understand why you're not doing it.
And I was actually up overnight, very late up, and I saw as Russia another missile crossed into Poland, and Poland had to scramble jets, you know, in case. And the fact that, I mean, frankly, you know, thank you to Poland for everything they've done. I mean, they've really stepped up since 2022 and assisted Ukraine. But the fact that they watch a missile that they know is on its way to kill Ukrainian civilians carry on through their airspace and say, oh, it's okay, it's not landing here, so let it just continue on to Lviv. I mean, really, like, this is, it's so absurd on the surface, you know, and just when you start thinking about it. So hopefully NATO will enact this policy, because it's you know, it's ridiculous.
Okay, on to the next.
Okay, so Russia's SVR head, which is the Foreign Intelligence Services, he spent 3 days in North Korea. Now, we have all seen that North Korea has been supplying Russia with ammunition and other weapons, missiles and weapons, you know, to Russia. Now, it seems that Russia is now supplying North Korea with oil. This all goes against the sanctions that the United Nations has put in place. And again, it goes to the absurdity of the situation, where you have Russia, who is a UN Security Council member with veto power, who is literally publicly violating sanctions the UN had put onto North Korea years ago. First, by the, you know, arms embargo that Russia's been violating, and now with the, hey, call it, oil. And then, of course, there was a third case where Russia, you know, sent Kim Jong-un a half a million dollar car, and yeah. That was in violation of luxury, you know, yeah. Goods that are not allowed to enter.
That's
so, right. I mean, I don't know what the United Nations is doing, and I have yet to see them even take a step to address this. I guess they're okay with this.
I mean, there are quite a few problems, okay, with the United Nations. It's not new, by the way, because I was doing some reading also in the 1970s, late 60s, there were equally, okay, as many problems in the UN. Troubled. But let me just say and add that what Olga was just talking about, these sanctions came in 2017. We are going to include in the show notes a report that was put together by Ruzi and with photographs. You can actually see the North Korean oil tankers that are visiting Russia's ports, which they started tracking on March the 6th, and they were reloading oil products. Of course, as Olga has just said, this contradicts the oil embargo that was imposed on North Korea. The satellite pictures themselves come from an analytical center that took them. The visits that Ruzi tracked mark actually an unprecedented development in these relations, the relations between Russia and North Korea, especially because they come after, as Olga has already stated, all of the ballistic missiles that are coming out of North Korea and going into Russia. So we'll be putting, the link to this report. It's fantastic. I took a look at it, went right through it, and they show photographic evidence of everything that is happening. So our applause to Ruzi and their work, on this kind of thing. Over to you, Olga.
Now to some good news. Trump's fascist buddy in Hungary, Orban, there's a scandal surrounding his, corruption, proof of corruption through an audio tape that was released.
Ooh,
of his.
Do tell.
It's definitely interesting. I will put the link into the show notes. But with the scandal surrounding, we have seen daily protests growing in Hungary. So now Orban has his own domestic issues, and Trump, of course, loves to call him what a strong man he is and how he controls, Hungary so perfectly and all the other nonsense that comes out of Trump. Well, we'll see what happens here and whether the Orban regime will survive this. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I've been monitoring Telegram, but also other social media platforms. There are actually quite a few protests that have started. I contacted one of my buddies who's a journalist there to see the veracity of these videos and to see whether this is actually the case. So I'm just waiting back to hear exactly the entity of these protests. I hope they pick up, because it started, as we know, with a person in his government, the actual I think it was either the president or something like that was covering up someone who works for them and was part of the pedophile ring. So that started with that, but I think they're just picking up steam now. They may be tired of Orban and his oligarchs. Let's see, if that is the actual case.
Yes, something to look forward to.
Exactly. So I finished my news items of the week. Olga, do you have anything else to add?
My last thing is for people to pay attention to what is happening domestically in Russia. Since Russia, pretty much allowed this terrorist attack to happen. At a minimum, they allowed it. We'll wait for more facts to come out. Things have become very chaotic inside. I mean, what the West is seeing is basically, Russia's statements of, Ukraine did it, they financed it, and all the lies, lie on top of lie on top of lie that is coming out. But domestically, there are a few things that are happening. One, There has been chatter that Russia's head of FSB, Bortnikov, head of Rosgvardia, Zolotov, which are Putin's St. Petersburg buddies, and I forgot who the third guy is, that they are, you know, that Putin is considering replacing them, and that there might be some kind of shuffle in the senior positions of these agencies.
That's right.
At the same time, you have migrants who are under extreme pressure. Russia is introducing a digital gulag, as it's called, what it is, tracking movements of migrants, and they have been raiding, you know, factories and plants looking for migrants. So, I mean, things have gotten very, very dark inside of Russia with that. And at the same time, you have the Chechens who, you know, again, escalations are building between the Chechens and nationalists. And you have, you know, a very negative sentiment now building from Moscow and St. Petersburg against Muslims. And Muslims make about 40 to 50 million, if not more, of the population of Russia. And on top of that, if that's not enough, you have, the past few days, like all these bomb threats that are being called into various shopping centers, where people are like, you know, have to be evacuated and this and that. And then on top of it, another campaign of texting and emailing people to participate in a terrorist attack. So there are a lot of fractures happening inside of Russia at this time, on top of the economic pressure, on top of the pressure on the elites, on top of the pressure on, you know, as we call them, the Siloviki, which are Russia's agency people. It will be interesting to see where this goes, but I definitely would, you know, suggest people keep an eye on this, because there's only so long Russia can weather this type of storm.
Yes. I'm glad you brought this up, okay, Olga, because a lot of people on different platforms and different arenas have been simply looking at, let's say, the statements that have been thrown back and forth by Russia without looking at the domestic situation, which is something, okay, that hopefully our listeners and our watchers will be able to get information on that. So this is, okay, that's a wrap for this week in review. Thanks, everyone, for watching and for listening. We'd like to remind everyone that on Thursday, our new episode is coming out with Eto Buzashvili. And she's going to be, okay, in our chat. We talked all about information operations and the newest trends, okay, that have just emerged and what they have found, okay, in their research and observation monitoring, okay, operations. So we're very, very happy that you're going to be able to listen, okay, to what Eto has to say. She is also a lovely, lovely, lovely person. We hope to have her on, okay, maybe in a few months, to see if there are new trends, you know, that are coming out.
Definitely. And again, thank you, everyone. And for the stories we've discussed, we will put the links into our show notes on the Kremlin File Substack.
Thanks.
And see you next week.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to help us out with our independent work, please subscribe to Kremlin File on Substack and on our YouTube channel. Kremlin File is hosted by Olga Lautman and me, Monique Kamara. Our production team is headed by Maddie Kaparov, and the theme music by Oreste Kamara. So please don't forget to visit our Kremlin File Substack for links to our socials and to wherever you'd like to listen to podcasts.